Phil Oliva is a Republican candidate running for New York's 18th congressional district seat. He's running against Sean Patrick Maloney. Phil, welcome back, and let's talk a little bit about the Cook Report. Now, the Cook Report is a political report that says New York 18 is a safe Democratic seat. Is that true?
No, they don't. They haven't seen recent polling. And also, this seat, three times since 2006, has changed hands. Five elections, three seats have changed hands.
That's why I ask it a question.
Yeah, Cook Partisan Index also says this seat is rated as an even, where you have Elise Stefanik, Chris Gibson, and John Katko, all Republicans holding seats that are more Democratic than this one. Four counties, Orange County, Dutchess County, Westchester, and Putnam, all have Republican county executives. The three largest have sheriffs, DAs, clerks. This seat is definitely winnable. The only thing you could say is that Maloney has millions of dollars, and I don't. But that's the only thing you could base it on. But they're going on assumptions, not with recent pollings. And I think in the next week or two, you'll see that change.
Okay, so let's go back to some of the substantive questions that face a guy who's going to be in Congress. Let's talk about the economy, number one.
Yeah.
I've been reading in the New York Times the economy is improving, it's getting better, that Obama's done a really good job. Do you believe that?
I don't. I think the president's done the best job he can do. I think some of it is automation that he has said. Some of it's cyclical. Some of it is we're a maturing economy. You know, I have an MBA, so I've studied economics for a while. But, you know, 1.7% economic growth over the last 8 years, it's the worst in American history. It's the worst recovery off of a recession in American history. I think, and what that translates into is that 94 million Americans out of the workforce, 49% of recent college graduates who graduated in the last 5 years are either unemployed or underemployed. Now, when I graduated college, I had to wait tables for almost a year. I couldn't find a job. But now it's that's kind of the rule more than the exception. So what can be done? I think we got to, you know, get that economic growth rate closer to 3%. When you have that, incomes can rise. We can get more people out of poverty. We can employ more people. And, you know, we have a lot of issues. You know, I don't put it all on the president, for sure. I think Congress, you know, when you talk about the president, you have to talk about Congress because it's the two branches and they're doing it together. So we need some more coordination for more pro-growth economic policies to move our country forward. Now, the problem in New York we have is that New York, we have the worst business climate in the country, and we also have the worst economic competitiveness and outlook in the country. So anything that's going to benefit the country, New York will kind of get some of that trickle down, but it's going to go to the more pro-business friendly states. I mean, I saw it down in Westchester when General Electric was leaving Fairfield, Connecticut, because Governor Malloy hiked taxes and hit their bottom line big. They were looking in Georgia and they were looking in Westchester. They ended up going to Boston because the CEO said we were looking for a state with a better business climate. New York's dead last. Connecticut, I think, was sixth worst. He went to Massachusetts, which is number 25, right in the middle. And plus, they have all the great universities and brain talent in Boston. So we have to do a lot. I think flatter fare, simpler tax code, some regulatory reform. 21,000 new regulations last 8 years. That's a record. And you need some regulations. You need some rules, for sure. But we should revisit them. We should sunset some of them and see which ones make sense and which ones don't. And we have to free up our economy a little bit so it can grow.
Now, I hate to do this to you as a Republican candidate, but Donald Trump, it has now been revealed, probably, although we're not sure, didn't pay taxes for a long, long time. How do we get people to pay their taxes?
Yeah, I'll surprise you with my answer here because that's disappointing to me. And it's, you know, he didn't do anything illegal.
No.
But I don't like how, you know, we have a system in place that capitalizes reward but socializes risk, you know, and the whole moral hazard. You know, and anybody who declares bankruptcy, I don't know if I want to see them bounce back on their feet living in, you know, luxury a year later. You know, because the people in the middle, you know, we get, you know, pardon my French, but we get screwed here. You know, I paid every last penny of my student loans that I owed. I saved until I had 20% to put down on a house. You know, when we moved, you know, when my father bought his first house, I think the mortgage rate was 16%, and he paid every last penny. You know, we didn't default. Now it seems like, you know, the people on the extremes, they game the system. And I don't like how Donald Trump is bragging about how he gamed the system. I think we need to fix the system. I think we need to make it so that, you know, you kind of sweat a little bit more when you make some bad decisions and not just kind of use the tax code to cover your hide. Now, there's 70,000 pages in the tax code. I can't afford, you know, the top, you know, CPAs, you know, to pay $500 or $800 an hour to find every loophole and every deduction. I used to do my own taxes, and I went to H&R Block. I think we need to simplify it. I'd like to see it go from 70,000 to 7,000, maybe 700, maybe 7 pages one day. You know, but anything incrementally that kind of takes away a lot of the deductions, increases the pain for some of these, you know, the wealthy and well-connected, when they make bad decisions, we shouldn't have to socialize their downside.
Do you think we're in a position to overcome the kind of nonsense that gets carried on by the lobbyists from K Street who come down to send on the Congress and put all of these provisions in the law?
Yeah, it's a great question, Alan, and I don't know. All I know is I'll be a voice for common sense and solutions and not part of the problem. But K Street's very powerful, and I'm sure your listeners know because it's a very intelligent group of listeners. But K Street is the lobbying, you know, all the lobby shops in Washington, and they thrive on the 70,000-page tax code.
They put it there.
And
hey, I got to switch subjects and ask you about gun control.
Yeah.
You know, I happen to be unashamed about this. I think we got too many guns. I think we should be checking things so that people who are risks are kept gunless. But I know for a politician, it's generally regarded as suicide to say anything about gun regulation.
Yeah.
Where are you?
I think I'm a supporter of the Second Amendment. I think, you know, they talk about common sense gun safety legislation. I got to say, though, President Obama commuted the federal sentences of, I think, 900 or something federal prisoners. It's more than 9 previous presidents combined. And he wants to say, well, it's mostly drug offenders. And I think that's largely the case. But there were several folks in there for gun charges. Now, to me, somebody who is illegally possessing a firearm and uses it in the commission of a crime, why should we go easy on them? I think that right there, they should be punished. I think the biggest problem with the proliferation of guns is gun trafficking, illegal handguns. That's where we need to crack down on and do something about that. You tipped on making sure, yeah, the terrorists, sociopaths, criminals, we should keep them far away from firearms. But I think, Alan, you would even admit that the overwhelming majority of people who own firearms are good and decent, law-abiding people who just want it for personal protection, hunting, target practice, collection. And, you know, I think we have thousands of laws already on the books. And, you know, I think, you know, we got to do a better job of making sure that the wrong people don't get their hands on them.
I got a minute. Let's talk education for a second.
Yep.
Common Core, what do you think?
Studied it very much, and I'm against it because you have, for a lot of reasons, no K-12 teachers were involved in the development of Common Core, no child development experts. So you have abstract learning in the early grades where kids don't learn abstract. They're better at languages and the arts and stuff like that. It's federally driven. They argue about that, but you have Bill Gates who put $200 million behind it. His kids don't go to a school that's Common Core aligned. And one of the biggest things that made me wonder was they hired Dr. Sandra Stotsky for ELA and Dr. James Milgram, the head of the math department in Stanford, to come and validate these standards. Each one said thumbs down. They got stricken from the record. And they said these standards do more harm than good. I'm all for high standards. I'm all for pushing our kids to strive, but along the right path that's going to help them. So I think we haven't seen the end of Common Core. I think we're still, I mean, Governor Cuomo, I think, heard the voices and the cries. You see the opt-out rates. He's backed off, but did he just rearrange the chairs of the Titanic, or are we really going to get some change? Now, Saul Cohen, who lives down in Larchmont in White Plains, or in Westchester, they were putting together new standards. He was a former Board of Regents. And for 2 years, they did everything that they didn't do at Common Core. But then when the money came, they got knocked off path and they accepted the Common Core, the standards. I think it's still a major problem. And there's a federal role here, too, because John King, who is the commissioner, is now the Secretary of Education. He said if a school has more than 5% of kids opting out, that school is going to be labeled in need of improvement. And people don't know this is coming down the pike. And I'll fight that in Congress.
Well, we've been talking to Phil Oliva, Republican candidate running for New York's 18th congressional district. He's running against incumbent Sean Patrick Maloney. As I said, everybody, Phil, good luck.
Thanks, Alan. I appreciate the opportunity. You can go to philoliva.com to learn more.